Been a while since I've been up here. Well, your pastor is gone. That sounds weird, but yeah, your pastor is gone, and he is out for the weekend, and Pastor Randy is out for the weekend. And so they asked me to come fill in, and if not, me and Carla would have been in Columbia City this morning, because that's who we've been helping out. And just going around, and just I do want to mention that we need to continue to pray for Fort Wayne as they continue to look for a new place. Right now they're meeting in the kind of a park area and in the village in the Wayndale area. And temperatures are going to be changing, and it's going to be getting kind of cold in the mornings here soon. And so they need a new place. So keep them in your prayers for that, and also with Columbia City. But we are going to be celebrating a revival and our 15-year celebration coming up this week. This week, yes. And so all that starts on Thursday, okay? All that starts on Thursday night, okay? So Wednesday night, we're assembling together. We'll be praying over all of that. But Thursday, you can come for that too. That's at 6, that's at 7. But our services Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are going to be at 6:30. And so we have just different guest speakers. We have a group that's going to come sing on Sunday night and Sunday morning here. So it should be a good time. And the whole thing about the celebration is we're going to celebrate what God has done in the 15 years that we've been here. And also, we are going to have a revival at the same time because we need it. Our testimonies are not so much. It's always about, and it's good, we're always praying. I hear you guys, I see it on Wednesday nights, we're praying about the sick, but we're not sharing the gospel with a lot of people. So we need to be recharged with that. And so hopefully the revival brings you to where you need to be. But it is good to be here. Of course, there's people out today because it is a holiday weekend, but you're here today. So we want to worship. So let's go and we're going to pray, and then we're going to go into Psalms 51, and that's where we're going to be today. Father, Lord, we want to say thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity today, right now, this moment that you've given to us, this place and this time, Lord, to break into your word, to see how our relationship with you can grow, to see what we can learn from your word, Lord, that will help us become the men and women that you want us to be. Father, we ask that you give us ears today and eyes to see what you, your Holy Spirit, will reveal to us in our hearts. For it's in Christ's name, amen. I want to share with you today that each one of us are sinners. Amen? We are, all right? We're sinners, and we are, hopefully today that you have Christ, and you're just a difference. The difference is a lost sinner and a saved sinner. Amen? And so today we're going to be looking at what it feels like when you're a Christian and you sin. Now, when you're a lost person and you sin, it's in your conscience. Either you think it's a bad thing or it's okay with me because my sins is not, the things I do is not dependent upon, as a lost person, it's not dependent upon whether and what God's word says. It's whatever you feel. Okay, so when people feel like they've sinned, I'm not saying that that's a wrong thing. I'm not saying it's the right thing. But the lost people just do what they feel is best in their own hearts. Okay, they feel that some of them feel like this is a sin, that's not a sin. We as Christians, we struggle with some of that as well. But we say, no, I didn't commit a sin. I didn't do that. I've even met a man one time who said he never sinned in his life. I was like, wow, how could that be? That's how far. When you're lost, you're just lost. Okay. You don't have Christ. You have your own brain, and your brain will always come up short, okay? Everybody has a few brain cells that are short, right? Short circuit, right? We're not as smart as we think we are, all right? So lost people, they don't know. I don't think certain things are wrong. They just don't. But we as Christians, we do. Now, we still struggle with some things. We got some people here that think this thing's okay, and other people say that thing's that, but that's not okay. And so we struggle with that. But I want to tell you, what we go by is we go by God's word. Amen? And if you don't have one of these today, you better have your cell phone out. Okay? Because I tell you what, if you're here today, you need to grow in the Lord. I mean, you need to grow in the Lord. Okay? You need to grow in the Lord. We need to, but what Paul says, I can't give you, you're still on the milk is what he says. You're still on the milk. It's time to grow up and eat some of the meat of God's word. Amen? All right? So, am I the only one here today? I'm only there today. We are getting ready to celebrate 15 years. And when we reveal what goes on and what God has done in 15 years, it is amazing. And it's only because of what God has done. And I'm telling you, God has his hand on this place. Everybody's replaceable. I'm replaceable. I was just replaced. Everybody is replaceable. But God isn't. This is his. And he has done an amazing job, hasn't he? So but today, we prepare our hearts for what we're going to be celebrating and what's going to happen in this revival, because we know that we need it. I know that we need it. And not just this location, but Columbia City and Fort Wayne location as well. But I want to share with you today, right here, when we're talking about this, we're talking about what it feels like as a Christian when we sin, what it feels like as a believer when we sin. Because when we're lost, we just kind of, like, when we sin, what happens is either we're going to draw to God because our hearts are broken, or we're going to draw away from God because we want to keep doing that thing. We want to keep doing it. Okay? If we were to go back and we look at this guy named David, and we're not going to go back and read all them verses. I read them yesterday. It was great. But if I read it, I got to read the whole thing. But I'm just going to tell you, a lot of you know, but I'm just going to tell you. King David, one day when all of his men were out there in the war, he stayed up on the palace. He was on the top of the palace. He seen a beautiful woman. Her name was Bathsheba. And he called her over to his place. And they have intimate sex. And she ends up pregnant. But she was married. And he was one of the commanders for David out in the battlefield. He has him pulled back in. He says, man, I got to cover this thing. I got to cover this. I'm the king. I got to cover this. All right. And then he brings in Uriah, and he brings him in, and he gets him drunk. He's trying to get him to go home, to have an intimate moment with his wife. So that, not my baby, it's your baby. Okay. Because she is pregnant. Okay. He didn't do it. He laid out on the steps. He's like, no, I can't do it. My guys are out there in the battlefield, but I can't do that. I need to be here. So he brings him in. He tries to get him to go, but he don't go. He doesn't go home. He doesn't get with his wife. So the king, David, sends him back on the battlefield, and he says, hey, he tells his general, he says, Jeff, I want you to send him right out to the front of the battle line. I want him to be struck down. And Uriah ends up being killed. And so David says, I got it covered. I covered my sin. I hid it. Folks, that's exactly what we do. When we sin, we go and we try to figure out, it's the domino effect. When you knock one down, you keep knocking down until you deal with it. And it's there. And it's not going anywhere. But we think we've hit it. Now, everybody here has a skeleton key. Everybody here has a closet. Either your door is open or you got it all locked up. But I want to tell you, you lock it up because you don't want anybody to see it. You don't want to deal with it. But I want to remind you, God sees inside that. There's nothing you can hide from Him. The Bible says nothing is hidden from God. So whether you lock it up because you don't want people to see it, but God sees it. But also, God has a key too. God can let it become opened, and He did. He sent a prophet over. He's going to open this thing. I mean, He's going to let it all fall out. Some of you, mostly as teenagers, maybe you have a woman with millions of shoes in your closet, and you're the only one that can open it, because if it opens, everything falls out. God sends Nathan, the prophet, over, and he says, David, he tells him a great story, and he ends up telling him, you're the man, and these things are going to happen to you, and he just says, I'm in. And what happens is he has this baby, and the prophet says, your baby's going to die. King David fasts, the baby ends up dying, then he gets up and eats, and he begins to talk to Nathan again. But there's something that happened in that whole time of that process of his sin. And we're going to break in. We're going to go in the heart of David for a moment and this conversation. And if you got your Bibles, turn to Psalms 51. This is one of the most intimate for a man breaking himself down, because David has a lot to say about his enemies. David has a lot of times where he says, Lord, strike my enemies down. But this is the moment when he opens himself up and he says it the way that it is. There's a few more places that he does this, but this is how to get your life right. But this is the area when the prophet came to David, and David committed adultery. He also committed murder. He also lied. He also did all kinds of things. Okay? If you don't deal with your sin's going to heap up on you. And you know if you carry your sin long enough, your face shows it. You feel weighted down. So let's just break in here for a moment. In verse 1, David says, this is when you know your heart's beginning to turn. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. What happened is he just got busted. He knew he should have dealt with this, but he didn't deal with it. Now he's all filled up with all this stuff, all this junk that he shouldn't carry. Some of you are carrying things you shouldn't be carrying right now, because if you give it to the Lord, you can walk away from it and be free from it. But he says this, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion." We're seeking God now as mercy and love and compassion. He says, "Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." He does exactly what we do. We do the same thing. "Lord, forgive me my sins," and we do that. But here's what he says. He says, "I know my sin." He's starting to take ownership of it. You see, we go in there and we say, sometimes we go into the worship area, wherever it may be in your life, and you go into that prayer place in your life, you say, "Lord, just forgive me of my sins, and Lord, now give me this, give me that, and help me have a great day, amen," and we go on down the road. And we did that in 10, 12 seconds. We got to talk about it. He says, my sin is always before me. You know, if you have that skeleton, that you have your skeletons in the closet, you know that whenever you walk around, you're dragging that with you wherever you go. You know it's there. And even if you leave it someplace, it's still yours and you think about it. Okay? It's always before you. It's always in front of you. And then we wonder why we haven't seen a blessing from the Lord in a while. We wonder why we haven't seen God. It seems like God's not answering any prayers. It seems like God's so far away. No, He's not far away. His blessings are not. No, it's us. And He says, "So my sin is always before me. It's always there." Now this is the moment we're either going to deal with it, or we're going to start to do what we call self-justify. We start blaming it on others. We start blaming it up on our environment. We start blaming it up on the family. We start blaming up something that happened to us a long time ago. Listen, you deal with it. You need to deal with it. Because if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. And it will keep you miserable. So the first part here is we got to admit that we've sinned. We got to admit that we sin. We got to admit that we sin. And God is the one that we go to. That's the difference, the first difference, between a lost person and a saved person. A lost person, they don't go to anybody. They just do their little conscious, "Hey man, just forgive me, man. I'm sorry about that, hon." And then go on down the road. That's it. A lost person says, "Hey, you know what? Forgive me, hon. Hey, dude, I'm sorry about that." But they also go to the Lord. We have to go to the Lord. We need to go to the Lord. Amen? We need to go to the Lord every day. We need to go to the Lord today, because the Bible says if your conscience is clear, if you feel like your conscience is clear, it doesn't make you innocent. The Bible says. It doesn't make you innocent. It isn't about what's in your brain. It's about what the Spirit is telling you, convicting you of. Okay? Conviction is a big piece for a saved person. Conviction is heavy. You can't get rid of it, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and it is wrestling with you, and it's filling you with conviction so that you can get right with God and get your life back on the road where you can start serving Him again. And David's at this point. David has killed Goliath already in the past. He's done great things. He's now the king. He's done amazing things. But that doesn't get you off the hook. If you sin, you got to deal with it. Okay? You got to deal with it. All right? So he says, "My sin is always before me." Basically he's saying, "I can't take it anymore. I've been busted. It's all out in the open." And you want to know something else? I wonder how much chatter was going on in the palace before it actually even came out. It was already out, because we love the gossip, right? We love the gossip. And the farther you go higher up with the Lord, however, whatever that looks like, it's not that you're really going higher. You're just trying to live more like Jesus, right? And you have a sin, people are going to slam you so hard. Okay? The only reason people do that is because their life isn't right either. Because instead of slamming people, we need to be praying for people. We need to be encouraging people. We need to go to people and pray with them through their things. Now he goes into this part here. He says, "Man, sin makes me feel dirty." He says in verse 7, "Cleanse me with hyssop. I need to be cleaned up." And no psychiatrist is going to clean me up. No counselor is going to clean me up. Church really isn't going to clean me up. Nobody's going to be able to clean me up except for Jesus, right? All right? He says, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed Rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. What he's saying? He's saying, I cannot handle being separated from you, Lord. I cannot handle being dirty. I don't want to be dirty. I don't want to be dirty. I don't want to have all this filth upon me. I want to be cleaned up. I want to hear the joyful things. You crush me. Because of my sins, I feel crushed. And he's saying, Lord, quit looking at my sins. Get rid of it. Get rid of it, Lord. Quit looking at my sins. Get rid of it. Sometimes there's been some people in my life that I've been to some mentoring and been talking with and coaching with and what have you, and they got a big, major sin in their life, and they keep trying to work it out, and I'll bring it up and say, well, how you doing in this area? Why do you keep bringing that up? Because you got a problem in it. That's your problem. That's, you haven't dealt with it. And you asked me to help you, I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to do it in love, but I'm going to bring it up because there's only so much that I can do. But what I bring it up to is to let him and let her know that, you know what? What's going on is not right. So I begin to share with him and talk with him, and he's just not getting it. It's going to be the same until he deals with it. But I want to tell you, I've known a couple guys. And every time I see them, their face is always downcast. They know how to put on a smile. They can put the mask on and everything. But they have not dealt with their sin. They're not going to until they get to this moment. And they got to reveal it. It's got to come out. It's got to come out. And some of our sins, we come out, we just do it right there in front of the Lord. And we do it, and we just need to hash it out with Him. There are times when a married couple, they need to hash it out together with the Lord. They need to hash that out. I've heard so many times, I want you to hear me now, I heard so many times say, if my wife cheated on me, I would divorce her. My husband cheated on me. Listen, it don't start off just like one person does another. There's something that builds up to that. We just want to get an out real quick. When you get it and you ask God to clean you up, He's got to wipe a little bit off here and there, and He's got to clean you up, and it doesn't feel good, but it's going to feel good the more He does it. And, you know, it just takes some time there to work it out, but He's going to do that. He'll clean you up. And then that sin is away when we ask Christ to forgive us, and we do it the real way with a full heart and a loving heart and a repentant heart. That means we're not going to do it anymore. We're going to walk away from it. That's my intention, is to walk away from it and never do it again. The problem is we judge people who fail down the road and do it again, and we judge them and we do the same thing. We got to quit playing God and let God be God. We need to be the encouragers of the prayers and the people that help them, not to judge them. Because so many of us, probably every one of us, have failed in one sin more than once. But David says, man, I can imagine right now, one of his generals he put out there, he's thinking, man, I put this guy to death. My word, even the Bible tells him, Nathan says, the Lord, you put him to death. The lies after over and over, because he had this lustful thought that he couldn't control on the top of his rooftop of his house, of his palace. And now he's trying to work it out. You can't go back and change what you've done. Okay, once it's done, he could not go back and say, Uriah, I'm giving you life back. Let's act like it never happened with me and Bathsheba. No, you can't do that. The best thing we can do is to get on our knees before the Lord and let him start working it out. But we got to have an open heart and a repentant heart and seek forgiveness. So we're all there. We're all messed up. And we're all falling apart. We go down here in verse 10. That's what I call the part number 3. Put me back together, Lord. Put me back together. He says, create in me a pure heart, O God, because he knows in his heart there was lust in there. Lust for a woman that wasn't his. And God even later told him, he says, I've given you this, I've given you that. You have more than one wife. You have all those needs taken care of, and here you are wanting something that's not yours. He says, create in me a pure heart, Lord. Lord, I don't want those thoughts anymore. And as we read through the word, we don't see David having those thoughts. We don't see those actions of that sin being repeated. Because he says, create in me a pure heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're living in sin, you have sin in your life, your walk with Jesus is not going to be strong, it's going to be weak. You're not going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The only sensitive thing from the Holy Spirit is going to be the conviction of God upon you and upon your heart. And he says, I want to get that back. Renew that spirit within me, that excitement about wanting to go to worship. And he says, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't do that, Lord. Don't do that. Okay, let's get, put me back together. And then he moves on and he says, Lord, I want you to restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, some of you today have lost your joy in the Lord. You've lost your joy in the Lord. You've lost your joy in the Lord because your walk with the Lord is not good. It's not where it needs to be. And when we're in sin, we don't have joy in the Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. There's a joy that only God can give. Amen? There is only a peace that God can give. The rest of it is what we've tried to figure out and how to do. And we can get some joy out of some things. We can get some peace out of things. But we cannot get the true peace and true joy unless we have a relationship that's solid with the Lord. And he says, grant me a willing spirit to sustain it. What are you saying, Lord? Give me the spirit. Give me the strength to be able to walk in the way that you want me to be. Your prayer every day should be, Lord, let me be the man that I need to be, that you want me to be. Lord, let me be the woman that you want me to be every day. Because you can't do it on your own. You have to ask God to give you the strength to become that man of God. Amen? I can't do it on my own. I need the Father to push me. I need the Holy Spirit power within me. Man, I don't know where y'all are today. I hope y'all are here today. Are y'all here today?
Yes.
Man, come on. Are y'all here today? And then he says in verse 13, he says, then I'll teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. What he's saying, he says, I can't even help other people until I get my life right with you. I remember my dad was telling me about a group that was singing in a big bus and he went up to see them. And he told me he went to the back of the bus and saw them and they had a big bottle of Jack Daniels and the guys that were singing gospel music were drinking Jack Daniels. Southern Comfort. Y'all know what that means, right? And he just lost total respect. Because it wasn't that they were just having one. I mean, they had the bottles and the bottle, and they had it all laid out on the table. They were selling albums. They were filling the seats. But he would tell me, he said, to me, I never saw the most miserable. He said, those guys would put smiles on to sing, but he says afterwards, he said, I never saw four more miserable guys in my life. You can fool some people, but you will never fool God. And of course, that group comes down to being nothing. God will let it go to a point, and if you don't take care of it, that whole group, ministry, done. Done. And he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways. And sinners will turn back to you. So what he's saying is saying, Lord, you get my life right. I want to get my life right. And then I want to step out and then I want to help other people get their lives right. And I want to be a prime example of what it looks like to be a godly person in this world. I want you to see. I want others to see what you've done in my life. We need to be strong in Jesus, not strong in sin. Lost people sin, and that's what they do. And they just, that's what they do, and that's what's expected. People that have Christ, we're not supposed to sin. When we sin, we deal with it. We need to deal with it with Christ. We need to pick up and go on. We need to be strong in Jesus, not strong in sin. All right? We need to be strong in the Lord. Okay? I'm going to tell you, if you know that you love the Lord, we ought to be coming into the worship houses all across America, not faking it, but being real and saying, Lord, thank you for giving me a life. Thank you for taking me, because some of you know that you used to be alcoholics. Some of you know that you used to be drug addicts. Some of you know you used to be in pornography and all those things. You cheat on your wife, all those things. But God has turned your life around. And we need to be praising Him for things even He's done 25 years ago. Because we're 25 years later better than we were 25 years ago. We need to be excited about who Jesus is. We need to be excited that He gave us a new life. We need to be excited that He forgave us of those sins, because He don't remember them. He forgiven them. Amen? We need to be excited about who our Father is. We need to be excited, but we're not, because many of us have a garbage mouth. Many of us are living like the world and trying to come in here and live like a Christian. And you can't do that and satisfy the Lord. You can't do that and honor the Father. We should be different. Somebody should be different. We should be coming in here saying, listen, somebody chewed me out because I tried to share the gospel with them. Listen, pray for this person because I share the gospel with them. Hey, pray for this person. I'm seeing a marriage couple go through some straining pieces and I love people. I want to pray for them. We're not doing that. We're not doing it, period. We're not even doing that across the country in most of our churches. It's all about how best your music is and how easy and how you get your best life now. Listen, my best part of my life came when I was 12 and I gave my heart to Christ. And then it should get better each day. And when you fail, when you sin, you go back and then you have another testimony. Lord, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. But we're not doing that in churches today. We're trying to figure out how to spend millions of dollars on buildings that save no one. China has the biggest growing evangelistic explosion in the world right now. And they don't even have churches. David comes to this point. He says, Lord, in verse 15, oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. He knows he can't share it. He knows he can't say it unless he gets the strength of the Lord. But he's asked for it. We're too many of us are just observers. We got to be doers. Doers of the word. We're too busy asking God, get on my plan. Well, we need to be asking, Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, let me get in your plan. What is your plan for my life? You'll see God move more. And the Bible says to boast, when you boast, boast in the Lord. I'm going to boast in the Lord right now. I'm going to tell you something. Everything about New Life Fellowship isn't because of me. It isn't because of you. It's because of Him. But if you ask Him to lead, to do it, to do what you cannot do on your own, He calls you to do something. He always calls you to do something you can't do on your own. Because He knows you'll have to rely on Him. But sometimes we get these moments, just like David. As Paul would say, who cut in on you on the race? Who cut in on you? Here, David was running a great race. Something cut in on him, and it was lust. And then it became all these things. And he had to be sidetracked. He had to be taken off the playing field, put over on the bench. Because he can't do the things that God wants him to do being out there. Oh, he can try to be the king and be the best king he can, but he's going to have the worst advice. He's going to make the worst decisions. He's going to make the not very good choices because he's not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. So he's on the bench and he knows it. And he says, Lord, let me now get all this stuff. He says, now really, what is it that gets a man off the bench back into the playing field? It's at verse 17. Well, let me read something. Verse 16, he says, Lord, you do not delight in sacrifice. God says, he says, the Lord doesn't want a sacrifice. Not this time. They were doing sacrifices then, and we do see sacrifices coming later and other things. He says, if it was a sacrifice, I'd bring it. You do not take pleasures in burnt offerings, or he would bring it. When you mess up with your heart, you got to deal with the heart. Your money's no good. If your heart is corrupt, your money's no good. Your ministries are no good if your heart's not right. If your heart's not right, nothing can fix it. But this is what he says. The sacrifices of the Lord, okay? This is what it is. A broken spirit. When you've sinned, you're not a broken spirit. Lord, I'm broken. I'm broken. And we see that David was broken. And then he says, a broken and a contrite heart. He wants your heart. He gave you his life. We should be able to give him our heart. He says, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. What he's saying, he says, if I come with a broken spirit and I come with a broken heart before God and I come before him with a brokenness in myself, if I come before him broken, I know he will hear me because my heart is right. I'm broken. I'm coming to him just as I am. I'm coming to Him broken, and I know that He's the only one that can put me back together. The Bible says that we are the clay and He is the potter. And the potter can do whatever he wants with the clay. But I believe if the clay comes and says, I'm broken, a potter, which is the Lord, is full of love, mercy, and grace, and will begin to put His awesome hands. I'm telling you, some of you not had felt the Lord's hands on you in so long you can't remember what it felt like. But when the Lord puts His hand upon you, you know it. And there's a restoration that happens. And there's a feeling that comes over you. And it's a good feeling. And even though you may have screwed it all up, if you come to Him, if you come to Him, He will begin to put you together. But you got to let Him do it His way. You have to let Him do it His way. There was a man who was in India, from India, who became a Christian. And what he did was he thought he had to go around all over the world and get on an airplane and go fly to everybody and tell him that what he did against everybody. That's what he thought. One day he just thought he had to get on a plane and start going around to everybody because he says, I lied to this person, I cheated this person in business, I did this. So he starts getting on planes. That sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? But I want to tell you, when your heart's messed up, you get desperate. You know his heart was right, but he wasn't saved. I mean, his heart was messed up, but there's a part of him that wanted to get it right. Hey, he didn't know the Lord, but guess what the Lord does? Intervenes with him. Puts a person in his path and says, you know, why are you telling? Because he told a guy, he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm on a plane. I'm going over to apologize to this person. I need to ask forgiveness for all these people. He says, what are you doing? He says, you got that much money to get on all these planes? He says, there's one that you need to go to. And he can forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed. And that day he gave his life to Christ. Sometimes we want to go to everybody else, but to the one that we need to. Because when we meet the one that we need to, we gotta let God do it His way. So I'm asking you, being like David, that we all are, have great triumphs and victories in our lives, but there comes those moments when we sin. And many times they're secret sins. But if we don't deal with them quickly, sometimes God lets them come right out in the open. It's better to deal with your sin quickly than let it linger. And bottle it up. And put it in the closet. Put a lock key on it and 12 chains and 12 bolts on it and put it and throw it away. And you think you can go out to the ocean and throw those keys away and it'll never come up. Let me tell you, Jesus holds the keys to everything. If He wants it to be revealed, oh, it will be revealed. And sometimes we're like, man, why did I not deal with that when I should have? I'm asking you a question today. Is your heart right with God? That's a question that's asked all the time. But it's a question that we need to look inside ourselves. We need to ask, Lord, and you know, because we ask ourselves, man, I think I'm good. Don't ask yourself, really. Don't ask yourself, really. Ask the Holy Spirit. Father, am I right with you? I don't have any joy coming into the worship house anymore. Why don't I have joy anymore? Why don't I feel like praying much? Why do I not want to read your word? Why do I not want to draw closer to you? Lord, help me figure. Lord, and He will reveal to things. He will reveal things to you. If you want to be a Christian and you want to be solid in the Lord, you got to keep growing. But one of the things that you got to work through is when you sin, you got to deal with it. It's yours. You did it. You committed it. Now you need to take care of business. Taking care of business is not just sitting there saying, Lord Jesus, through the drive-thru, thank you. Thank you for today. Forgive me my sins and help me have a great day. Whew. I went through the drive-thru. No. You know what you get in the drive-thru? You get about 1,000 calorie to 12,000, or you get about 1,000 to 1,200 calorie meal. I know. I look at those now. You drive through and you go, man, do I really need all that? Because it's bad for you. Those kind of prayers are not the greatest. Sometimes we need to have a sit down with God. We need to walk in, sit down, and go through the whole meal. Because it's better for you. It's better for you. Father, we're just getting ready to stand up and have a time of response, Lord, not to me, not for me, not for the church, but for what your Holy Spirit is speaking to us about. Father, there are some here today, Lord, that need to speak to you and you only. No one else, but to you only, and to deal with some things in their life, some sin in their life. Father, there's others, Lord, that just need to deal with some things, Lord. And maybe it's just a lack of drawing to you, Lord, for there are some here that just lost their joy of their salvation. They feel nothing when they sing. Some others, Lord, here today that has fallen away from their prayer life. They haven't picked up their Bible, Lord, in a long time. And we wonder why things aren't well in our life. For your word tells us if we draw close to you, you'll draw close to us.